We're going to get back on our theme talking about joy. I was doing it once a month and kind of got sidetracked between our gospel meeting and a couple other things, and we're going to try to get back on that this evening. But I want to talk to you about things that actually steal our joy, that prevent us from experiencing the joy of the Lord. And there's really a lot of things that can prevent it, hinder it, and steal that joy. But the one that I want to talk about, first of all, tonight is people-pleasing. This idea that, you know, I've got to please other people, and that tends to modify our behavior a little bit, even modify the things that we talk about, because the greater our desire to please people, then the more our joy in the Lord begins to diminish. And we're all tempted to seek the acceptance of others. And I think that's just something deep within us, but it's something that we have to counteract. We have to realize that there's really only one that we truly need to please, and that's our Father in heaven. But there's hardly a thing that we wear or say or watch that's not influenced to some degree by a desire to be accepted. Some of those we might call societal norms, such as, you know, what we might wear to a particular thing, you know, going to, for example, a funeral or going to a wedding, those types of things. What is accepted attire for those? That would influence the way that we dress because that is a societal norm. But sometimes, especially in today's environment where the prevailing moral attitude is changing within our society, we have that desire to avoid conflict and be able to get along with other people, and that can influence, yes, even the way that we would conduct ourselves around those types of people. But in order to find a real lasting joy, we're going to have to seek more than just the approval of people, because that's fickle. It changes, and it tends to disappoint us. And you simply cannot please everyone. Your joy is going to be drained by those that don't accept you. If that's your whole goal, that I want other people to be happy with the things that I say, the things that I do, the way that I act around them, then every bit of their acceptance then determines our happiness and thus joy. And the real root of that problem is that people tend to be selfish. They want you to do what they like, and they want you to serve their particular selfish desire. Well, they may accept you, but they do it for their own happiness, not for yours. And as long as that is the case, it is going to be a shifting target. We also need to realize that people are limited. They may appear to accept you and claim to know what's good for you, but their wisdom has limits. They can be wrong. We don't have to look very far to find that at all. And the other is because people just, in general, aren't real good at forgiving. It's pretty quick for people to say, well, I'll never be able to forgive them for that. I'll never be able to forget that. Every time I see them, I'm going to think about what they did in some particular instance. And it really doesn't matter how much we would beg for forgiveness in some particular situation. Many people of the world are always going to have that attitude, and even some that claim to be believers in God. And so securing that friendship again, and thus an approval, is going to be very difficult. But I guess what this all comes down to is that pleasing people is very temporary. Essentially, the people you please will find a reason to not be pleased with you. And especially when we're talking about people of the world, they can put on a facade for you that shows that you are accepted and then turn around when you're not looking and stab you in the back. It's not dependable either. In the end, it's really not going to matter how many people accepted us or how many people we pleased, but whether or not we pleased the Lord. And the desire to please people can literally make you sick. It can be something that can create so much turmoil in your life that it manifests in both physical and mental ways. A lot of people recognize this problem, and so they say, well, don't please people, please yourself. But that philosophy only leads to arrogance, selfishness, and even self-righteousness. Lasting joy is only found in pleasing the Lord. He does not want our friendship for some selfish reason. He's not doing something or giving approval in order to get something from us. His wisdom is not limited. He knows what truly is best for us. And he's a great forgiver. When the Lord says he'll forgive you, it's done. There's no holding on to it. There's no holding it against you. There's no saying, well, every time I see them, every time I hear from them, I'm going to remember that. That's not God. He truly forgives, and he truly is a caring, loving Heavenly Father that has our best interest at heart. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. And if we adopt that same attitude that Paul is talking about there, then we will find a lasting joy that nobody can take away from us, nobody can steal. But I want to just continue this idea in what happens when we become people pleasers. And first is that it will destroy your faith. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36 and 37, it says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What would you say about a faith that wants to please a relative more than it wants to please Christ? In other words, I will compromise my belief, I will compromise the teachings of Christ, I will compromise my service to him in order to please father, mother, son, or daughter. I think most of us would say, that's not real faith. That's not genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus would say, it's a faith that's not worthy of me. And an unworthy faith is a useless faith. It is as good as gone. It is as good as destroyed. And so whatever faith we may have in Christ, if we desire to please relatives first, family first, or anybody else you could put in there, it doesn't have to be father, mother, or son, or daughter. It can be anybody. If you're willing to put them before Christ, then our faith in Christ becomes null and void. In John chapter 5 and verse 44, he said, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? The extent to which we crave the approval of people is the extent to which we become deaf to the truth. So the more you want to please people, the less you're going to listen to the truth that God has revealed to us. We've probably all known people that would not obey the gospel because their desire to please someone in their life was greater than their desire to please the Lord. I've even heard it put to a particular degree where someone in a particular denomination said, I believe what you're saying and I'm convicted by it, but I'm unwilling to do it because then it condemns dad, granddad, great-granddad that for generations they have not observed that particular doctrine. They may be very well dead and gone, and they would still say those same things. And so they would allow that to be a barrier then to them obeying the truth. They become deaf to the truth. Can someone like that have joy in the Lord? Well, they may have moments of happiness along the way, but they can't have the kind of joy that Jesus wants to give. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15, and look with me down at verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9. John 15, verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, for someone to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. He says there is that possibility of having this joy and it being full. And I visualize things when I read certain things. And for me, It's like thinking about a cup that just is just overflowing. We're completely full with the joy of the Lord when we allow Him to be the true source and not anything else. That's what Jesus wants us to have. But as I mentioned, our joy in the Lord will diminish as our desire to please people increases. And that means that your confession of Christ in your life, the way that you live your life, the way that you talk, the way that you describe Him to others, is going to be silenced. So go back a few pages to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 42. John chapter 12, verse 42. It says, "Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in Him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." These men knew that Jesus did things like raising Lazarus from the dead, something that just could not be done without being who He said He was. And yet their desire to please people and to avoid the wrath of the Pharisees was so strong that they would not confess Christ openly. They would not say what it says right here in the book of John, that they believed. How many times have we done that? How many times have we felt like we needed to keep our mouths shut, to be quiet, because we knew that confessing Christ would not go over well with whoever was there or whatever situation we found ourselves in. You see, that's how people-pleasing makes us silence ourselves. What would you do if someone made some sort of a false accusation or began to do something abusive towards someone in your family? Would you be ashamed to come to their defense, or would you step up? Well, we need to do the same for Jesus. We need to step up and give a defense. We need to step up and confess our faith. We should not be ashamed to do this when He is maligned or when His clear teaching is misrepresented. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, He says, "Everyone who acknowledges Me before men, I also will acknowledge before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, I also will deny before My Father who is in heaven." This seems like such a painful situation to be in, that you are a believer, you believe in Christ, but you hold back such that Jesus won't tell the Father, "That one's mine." He won't confess you. That's what He says. If you will not confess Him, if you will not stand up for Him and declare your faith, then He won't stand up for you and claim you as His own. And so as we do that, then the truth becomes compromised. Let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. He says, "Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." If Paul had been like a whole lot of preachers today, he wouldn't have written that statement. And again, that's another term in which I use that very loosely. I mean, anybody that would claim to be a preacher of the gospel today. There are so many that have ulterior motives. And they will compromise the truth in order to have the approval of a larger audience. And so truth becomes compromised. And the world pressures us to conform to their standards. And they will use any means necessary in order to try to force that to happen. There are those that are adrift on this sea of cultural values, constantly tossed back and forth by the pressure to conform to the world's standards. So they don't offer a distinctive message of the New Testament. They offer something that is watered down, that is soft-pedaled, where subjects are off-limits, won't be talked about at all. Why is that? Because those subjects might offend somebody. Might be considered foolish by those of the world. And so they dim the light of the gospel in order to appeal to a level of cultural tolerance and please others. And isn't that really also the case when Christians accept changes and additions to the work of the church and the worship of the church? When they're pressured to accept unscriptural marriages and stop preaching against divorce, stop preaching against sexual immorality, stop preaching against homosexuality, stop preaching against those that are living in sin together in an unmarried situation in their home, stop preaching against the abuse of alcohol, stop preaching against immodest dress, unwholesome entertainment, foul language. The list just gets longer and longer and longer. It's all because of that desire to please people. When we speak about God and His Word, we must ask, am I being true to His Word? Am I seeking to please Him? If our thought is, will everybody like what I'm saying? Then we may not have the right motivations. Going back to the book of John, let's go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, please. And verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Now, Jesus is doing some very strong preaching in this context, going so far as when they say, Abraham is our father, Jesus calls them, no, you're children of somebody else, you're children of Satan. You get down to verse 44, John 8, verse 44, when he says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Well, the response that they're having there, this is a typical response to the truth. When people don't want to change, when people don't want to accept what is being preached, when they don't really want the truth, they're going to provide pressure to not speak the truth. We must stand up and say, I must speak the truth. And if we're trying to please people, it really does spoil our relationships. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As long as we're shooting at a moving target, we're trying to please people, you must also realize that because that is a fickle target, pleasing one may mean not pleasing another. And it's very difficult to try to hit both targets, if you will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In other words, the only way for real unity, the only way for us all to be happy with each other is if we're standing on the right bedrock, the same standard that is the truth. And so in the church, pleasing people creates cliques and it disrupts unity and sometimes even creates an animosity between members of that local congregation. And it can do the same thing in the family. Let's go back to the book of John. I know I've kind of got you going back and forth, but just bear with me. John chapter 9 and verse 20. John chapter 9 is the story, the account of the man that was born blind that Jesus healed. And there was a lot of interrogation that goes along with this. But if you look down at verse 20 of John chapter 9, his parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Well, first they tried to just kind of have a middle ground where they don't commit to anything. And then second, they just pass the buck and say, "Just go ask him and leave us out of it." So by people pleasing, there is this disruption even within a family. And it's pretty pathetic here, because here it is, their son who was born blind has gained his sight by miraculous activity through Jesus Christ, and they won't even confess it. They won't even publicly acknowledge it. They want to say, "We don't know how that happened." But seeking to please people simply leads to sin. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10. Matthew 15 and verse 10. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 10, Jesus says to the people, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth." He says, what you do, the way you act, that's what really defiles a person. It is your actions, your sins, that corrupt your place before God. In verse 15, Peter said to him, "Explain this parable." And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and it's expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart and defiles a person." So if our activities are centered around pleasing people, it's going to corrupt our activity, our speech, everything about us. Why? Because that's what was in the heart. You think about Pilate when Jesus is brought to him, and he knew that Jesus was brought to him because the Jews envied the Lord, yet he delivered Jesus to be scourged and crucified to please people, an action that he didn't like taking. Let's go over to the Old Testament for a moment, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And this is where we begin reading about Saul and his decline. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 5. 1 Samuel 13, beginning in verse 5. "The Philistines mustered to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and troops like the sand on the sea in multitude. They came up and encamped at Michmash to the east of Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns, and some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, 'Bring the burnt offerings here to me and the peace offerings,' and he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him. Samuel said, 'What have you done?' And Saul said, 'Well, when I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come within the days appointed,'" remember, he showed up just as he finished, "'and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For when the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Let's go over to chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and look at verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Just like those parents in John 9, Saul doesn't truly want to own up. He wants to give an excuse. He wants to give himself an out, as if that will justify things for him. He knew that God commanded him to wipe out the Amalekites by the time you get to here in chapter 15. He knew that God commanded him to wait for Samuel to show up to do the burnt offering, yet he directly disobeys God, as he states, in order to please the people. He was people-pleasing. It caused him to sin. The same can happen for us. If our aim is to please people, then we will, sooner or later, eventually sin in order to please them. And all of this ultimately will rob you of the reward that we so much desire, that home in heaven with God the Father. Let's turn back to the New Testament to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's start at the beginning of the chapter and kind of skip around a little bit. But Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, says, Matthew 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Down to verse 16. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. If your reward is here and now, then it's not later. That's what Jesus is saying. So here he's saying, gifts given to the needy, prayers offered to God, fasting to demonstrate our spiritual priorities have no value when you're putting on a show for everybody else. You see, even those good things can become sinful when they are done with the desire to please other people. But the Lord told us right here how to avoid that trap. Let your service be between you and Him. Seek your joy in the Lord, not in the accolades of people. And our reward in heaven is way too precious to throw it away seeking the acceptance of some person or even the praise of the society or the culture around us. So that brings us back to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. We make it our aim to please Him. And if that's our aim, we can find the joy that we want. It won't be sapped out of us. It won't be diminished. It won't be stolen. So what's the only reasonable way to live then? Well, the next verse answers that in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. But God knows our hearts too. He knows what our motivations are. He knows why we do things. The fact is, He is the judge that sees all, inside and out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, he says that he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. In the end, it's not going to matter how happy people are with us. It will matter how happy the Lord is with us. And so don't get caught up in this desire to please people. Please the Lord. And live as though the Lord's view of you is the only thing that matters, because ultimately it is. It is all that matters. And if you realize that maybe the Lord's view of you is not what you'd like it to be, maybe you've had some problems with motivations, or maybe you've had problems with overt sins, it's time to come back to Him and change that path. We've selected number 386 as an invitation song. If you have need, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing?